August blends up and quorum
Methodist queen works only case.
Let's cut the bull.
Thanks for tuning in to Rebellion Radio, the Hunger Games podcast. Hello and welcome everybody to Rebellion Radio episode 10. My name is Hurley Commons.
I'm Alex Volva.
And I'm April Cosanti.
And it's the big 1-0, guys.
Yay.
We made it.
Yay! Woohoo!
A full decade of quality podcasting.
A full decade. 10 years in the making.
Yep.
Well, hold on. When do we start? We started in...
early summer?
July.
When? July.
Mid-July. Okay. So, you know, not quite 10 years. Close, but...
yeah, we're getting there.
Okay, so, for this week, we have a ton of great stuff planned. Ton of news to talk about. Great news. Mailbag, some of your very own reactions to the trailer, chapter chat, chapters 15 and 16, and a brand new segment that you will just have to wait for. We promised it last episode, and it's finally here. And yeah, you'll have to wait and see what that is all about. So, we're back in the studio this week after our joint episode with Nightlock Podcast. Now,
it was great.
I want to know.
Finally got to get away from you guys.
Hold on, we were still there. Basically, if you didn't listen to the last episode, it was a great episode. We discussed the trailer, so listen back to that. And if you liked that episode, please email in, and if you want us to do another episode with Nightlock. So, Alex, what's the first announcement?
Well, our first announcement is, if you haven't already, please leave us a review on iTunes. It would be much appreciated. It will help us with the show, help other people see the show, and come on, it's our 10th birthday gift. You gotta give it to us.
Yes, please. The iTunes reviews are huge and getting us noticed. So, if you could do that as our 10th birthday gift, I know when I was 10, I wanted like a race car thing, but you know, this is what we want for our 10th birthday. So, if you could do that, we'd appreciate it so much, and we thank you. So, the second announcement is a announcement that I'm excited about, and that is if you have Netflix instant streaming, there are three Jennifer Lawrence movies available to watch instantly. And I just have to give this a shout out because, as many people know, me and Jen share a special connection. These three movies are Winter's Bone, The Burning Plain, and The Poker House. So I encourage everyone, if they have Netflix, to enjoy these films.
Yes, this announcement has been brought to you by Netflix.
We thank Netflix for their support.
No.
I'm kidding, no. So... now we're going to move into the news this week. The news has been huge after the trailer hit. A ton of new stuff was announced. So let's start off with the first one. Alex, what's the first news item?
Well, the first news item is, after the trailer was released, thecapital.pn started a campaign for district mayors. So basically, on this website, when you've signed up for a different district, you can run for mayor. And each district has its own jobs to complete, and you can control that. Pretty cool.
Right. So basically the official mayor duties according to Lionsgate are district leadership, be the face of your district, celebrate citizens by praising the citizens, mayor mail, relay all communication from your district tributes to foster district pride, and public appearances. Now this one's interesting. It says represent your district at major capital sponsored events and ceremonies. Okay.
What could that mean?
Is that a premiere invite?
Oh, that has to be.
It has to be, right?
Yeah.
So when I first saw this, I'm like, heck yeah, I have to run, right? So I go to the Facebook, I submit for mayor, and I get my link, and I tweet it out. I'm like, everyone vote for mayor, please. And I keep checking back to see the results, and they're frozen at the same number. So I'm like, huh, okay, I guess no one else is getting up there. But I check the next day, and they like jumped up like 200 votes. So it's like, okay, that's my chance is gone. April, I know you ran, right, for your mayor?
I failed. Miserably. Woo!
Yay! High five.
Through time and space. Okay.
Well, so, I've got to say, there's going to be a lot of 14-year-old mayors.
Yeah. So, like, I guess we're getting some... I guess the Capital PN, they do have a plan for some stuff to be done, but, like, we still don't know anything about what their plans are for the site. We'll just have to wait and see after the mayors get elected what happens then.
I hope they have, like, other things that people can be in the Capitol and stuff.
Yeah, I know. Alright, so the next news story was that there was a new photo released of Cinna, Haymitch, and PETA. And I just wanted to mention it because we get a better high-resolution look at Haymitch's hair, which April has so vehemently
nice work.
Said Wig. Sucked. And, okay, actually, I'm kind of changing my mind. I do think that it might be a wig, time-wise, because I don't think he grew out his hair that long.
Oh, I said it the first time, and you're like, no, it's totally possible.
I know. Okay, I'm sorry, but... April, is your opinion about it changed? Like, does it look more realistic to you? Okay, we are never going to agree on this. Alex, what about you? How do you think the picture looks?
I mean, it's just the actors like talking. I mean, it's good to see them all in their character. I mean, they all look great. They all look like their characters. As for the wig, honestly, I guess I'm not an expert in hair products because it looks real to me. It doesn't look like a wig.
Exactly. I feel like if I was more educated on hair lusciousness and all that, like, I would know, but...
Yeah, I missed that class in high school.
I'm taking that class
in
high
school. Yeah, me too. I dropped out.
No, I'm not.
Okay, so I guess we have to see it in motion more. So, guys, you know how that people have been submitting poems in every episode for various things? This hair is so luscious that I think that listeners should submit their poems about Haymitch's hair.
Yeah, I agree.
It's so luscious. So, I guess it's becoming a tradition now, and we'll actually shed more light on this poem situation later in the show. But, if you have a poem related to Haymitch's hair, please send that us in a poem to comments at rebellionradiopodcast.com. Again, if you're kind of confused about this whole poem thing, stay tuned till later in the show. We're going to explain all about the poems.
All shall be revealed. So, we got more insight into Elizabeth Banks' portrayal of the Capitol accent, which I recall us talking about a bit last episode. And so, when asked where she came up with Effie's voice, she said it was a combination of the Philadelphia Story and Rosalind Russell in Auntie Mame. Now, I've seen neither of those. Have you, Hurley?
No, but I just looked up Rosalind Russell, and she's famous for, like, speaking fast, and she was a fast speaker, so... I guess that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have too big of a problem with the accent, so... I mean, we just got brief snippets, so... I guess I better watch the Philadelphia Story.
Yeah, just find that. But she also says that she wanted Effie to be really theatrical. Quote, I just wanted to make sure she didn't sound too British. She needed to have a little high flotten. So, I like that. That was good, because...
No?
I think it really reflected the Capitol accent, but... You know, some people thought it was too... I don't know.
British.
Some people didn't like it. Yeah. I liked it, though.
I mean, for all we know, it was the British that created Panem.
England would be underwater.
No. Well,
I mean...
Okay, wow.
I mean, think about it. Yeah. I mean, like, it says that the whole world was kind of destroyed and blah, blah, blah. Like, land went underwater and, like, most of the East Coast and West Coast. England is an island nation. So, wouldn't they go to, like, a big, massive land? I mean, maybe Europe was, like, I don't know, avalanches or something, earthquakes. And they decide, you know, let's go to America and colonize there, like before.
Why would they know? How would they possibly know that there was going to be a huge thingamajiggy?
Well, it was America? Probably a worldwide phenomenon.
By the time they figured out that there was earthquakes, and then avalanches, and then the whole... country is going to go underwater, that would have been dead. So,
well, I mean,
they probably wouldn't.
Okay, wait, we should probably nip this in the bud. We should probably save this for later, because...
Although...
Yeah, so that could be the reason, but...
We'll see. We'll just have to ask Suzanne Collins in her interview.
Yes.
She should explain more about the whole Cal Panem came to be thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, Suzanne, if you're listening, we'd love to hear your insight.
She lives, like, an hour and a half away from me.
Oh, really?
And, like, 15 minutes away from Kira and Matt. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so the next news story is one that I raised my eyebrows at and I'm not sure if you guys saw this, but the Hunger Games merchandise news, first of all, the character posters are available for purchase, so, you know, that's good. But secondly, it was confirmed that they are working on action figures.
What?
Oh, gosh.
Action figures.
Okay, I'm sorry. This may be one of the worst toy ideas I have ever heard.
Yeah.
What parent would give their child, like, the Hunger Games characters, like, oh, you can pretend to put them in the arena and have them kill each other?
I mean, what child young enough to play with action figures would be seeing the Hunger Games?
I mean, maybe they have, like, an entire arena, like, play set.
Yeah, see, okay, so for this series, right, it's obviously awesome to read. It's great to watch the movie. But do you really want to, like, reenact it with little action figures?
No.
Like, okay, I guess Katniss, you could have her run into the woods, but, like, I feel like some people on YouTube are going to put all these action figures in the a sink and like catch them on fire, like, you know, like, I it doesn't really I don't think it really works.
No, this is just I'm not usually like prudish about like giving like kids or having kids like see violence, but come on, don't let them play with Hunger Games things. No. I mean, at the age you're playing with action figures, no, just let be like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You shouldn't be seeing the Hunger Games at that young an age anyway.
Well, okay, so. I'm not sure about that. I think the Hunger Games, the violence aspect is fine. I just don't think it really matches the whole theme of the story. Like, I think this is just a blatant money grab, which I'm usually fine with. You know, like, it's money, it's capitalism, I get that. But this is just like grasping for straws, I think.
Well then,
nothing. Okay, cool.
That analogy kind of threw me off.
We both sort of are the same thing, where we're usually fine with the concept of it, but for some reason, it being like with the Hunger Games really like freaks us out. I mean, I wouldn't want like my brother like reenacting the Hunger Games in his room and like shooting little plastic fireballs from trees.
Yeah, so I guess when we see these actually made, we'll discuss them more and see if they fit, but as of now, I'm not hoping too hopefully. So, April, what is the next news story?
Well, supposedly, there was supposed to be Hunger Games nail polish, but now Lionsgate is getting sued because of it. Oh, the American International Industries is suing them.
Right.
Because they supposedly, like, ruined, like, dropped a contract or something. So, I was excited for these nail polishes, because they looked really pretty.
Okay. I think this is along the same line as, like, the whole action figures thing. Like, why would... This doesn't match anything in the books. Like, this represents the Capitol. The Capitol people wore a ton of makeup, and now they have a nail polish line? Like, how does that make any sense?
Well, what's his name? Katniss did wear nail polish. Like, there was, like, a whole thing about the fire and on the nail that they put on her, right?
Yeah, but, like, that wasn't her doing, that wasn't the Capitol's doing.
Yeah, but I still think, like, they put out nail polishes for everything, like.
Really?
Like, do they? Yeah. Like, what other fandom do you know has nail polishes?
Do they have, like, Twilight makeup where, like, there's Edward's diamond or something?
Yeah,
I think they did at one point somewhere.
Did they really? Really?
I think they did. They have everything Twilight. Are you kidding me?
I could see Twilight, but like, I don't hear about like.
Like they have like different movies that come out. They have like even like singers like, they have Katy Perry nail polish and they have Muppets nail polish and they have, like, they have everything. Especially like the company that was supposed to be making them, China Glaze, they have a lot of different things that have to do with different things in pop culture. So, the fact that they were making nail polish wasn't surprising me. But they were really pretty colors.
Oh.
I'm not gonna lie.
Honestly, I hope they get sued and, like handle a lawsuit and not... You know, like, it's like, I don't really care about the nail polish.
Nope.
Naturally, as a guy.
Well, you're
not
a guy.
At all.
Yeah.
But for the girls out there, like... Fire and Flight was very nice, and people were really excited about cinnamon, and etc., etc. and I would have loved Fire and Flight.
Yeah,
I would have gotten all of them, but
yeah, email in if you would. What do you think about this? Because some people, you know, like April and her friends, think that it's good, but like, I just think it goes against the book itself.
Yeah.
So email in if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah.
All right. So some last movie news is there was some interesting news about the movie screening overseas, and The Hunger Games will screen in China. Now, this is a big, sort of big, because China only screens a couple of American movies, you know, in China, and they picked The Hunger Games, so it just shows how popular it's actually getting. So now that we're done with movie news, yes, we have some more news, and that is book news. So let's just quickly run through this book news. First of all, The Hunger Games Tribute Guide is now available for pre-order at 128 pages, and is priced at $7.99. So, do you guys think you guys will pick? You'll be picking this up?
I don't know. I mean, this is coming out around February, right?
Right, February 7th.
Because my birthday's in February, so this would probably be the right time to ask for all this merchandise. I could review it.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll send it to you.
There's not much information yet of the actual content. I think it's just going to be, you know, ultimate guides about following the tributes, all of the tributes. So that'll be interesting. It's pretty cheap. And 128 pages, you know, that's not bad. That's pretty good. So I think I might pick it up, you know.
Might,
April,
yeah.
What about you?
I think I might if I have a gift card to Barnes & Noble. Because it looks really nice. I mean, all about the tributes and stuff, that would be really cool to look at. So
yeah.
I would like to read about that.
And now we have another of the merchandise books, The Hunger Games, the official illustrated movie companion, is also available for pre-order. And this is like going behind the camera about the film and like how they made it, blah blah blah. This is 160 pages and it's available for $10. And the cover looks pretty cheesy, but do you guys think you'll be picking this one up?
Yeah. Out of the three that we were discussing, yeah, this is definitely the one I want to pick up since I really like behind the scenes of movies. So
same.
This is too much like Twilight, this cover.
Yeah, the cover is questionable, but I, you know,
they ever judge a book by its cover.
That's true.
In this case, when it looks like Twilight, and that's what everybody's trying to avoid in terms of love triangle
comparisons, yeah.
Yeah, and then you see that. It's kind of like, oh.
Yep, so these will come out February, so we will tell you guys if we buy it then. So that does it for the news. Yeah, so let's move into the mailbag. This is the segment where we read off your very own listener mail. So the first email is from Colin. He says, "Hey, Mitch is 40. He was 16 during the Quarter Quell. That was the 50th Hunger Games. Katniss is participating in the 74th Games. Add 16 and 24, that's 40. He is not that old." So thank you, Colin,
yeah,
for doing the actual calculations on this.
Because we were too lazy.
Yeah. So Elena was saying like he was a little older. I imagined him about 40. Maybe even a little younger, but yeah, that clears that up.
Yeah, I mean, looking at Woody Harrelson, yeah, he looks 40.
Yeah, I think he is 40, like 41.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Alex, what's the second email?
Okay, Julia says, OMG, that's pretty much what went in my head during the trailer, and I was screaming after it. My emotions were tugged this way and that. And if you think about it, we still have the entire games to watch. I predict this movie will be over 2 hours. They can't do it otherwise. My favorite things about the trailer were how amazing and perfect and spot on the characters looked. Cinna, I was totally against Lenny Kravitz playing him before this. The scene on the roof with Katniss and Peeta, they're both from Kentucky, that's why they sound like they have a little accent. Katniss volunteering, I almost started crying at that part. And, well, everything else. I think the only thing I didn't like was that Katniss wasn't in her fire dress during the interview. Oh, and speaking of that, the shot of Katniss looking very pretty in her makeup was right before her interview. You can tell because she can see a little bit of red gauzy fabric on the bottom of the screen, the same as her dress. Julia.
Alright, so, thank you, Julia, for your thoughts on the trailer. OMG, 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 that's what I was thinking, except I was not saying that. So, April, what's the second trailer reaction?
So this one's from Haley, and she says, "Hello, fellow Rebels. I bet you guys are obsessing over the trailer like I was, and still am. This trailer completely blew me away. It had everything I could have wanted without revealing too much. First of all, I'm obsessed with the music playing in the background. I really hope this is the work of Mr. Elfman and Brunette. Second, in the words of April, Cato, Gale, and PETA, or ha-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, especially my dear PETA. Effie has a freaking accent, Haymitch looked kinda drunk, and they had direct lines from the book. I'm just so overwhelmed, in a good way. They got most everything exactly right down to Katniss's orange backpack. I'm in love with it. May the odds be ever in your favor, Haley. P.S. I'm seriously in love with Haymitch, Cinna, and Thresh after I saw the trailer. Smiley face heart."
Alright, so thank you, Haley and Julia, for your thoughts on the trailer. If you have any thoughts on the trailer, or anything else in general, you too can email us in at comments@rebellionradiopodcast.com. So now, guys, let's move into the main segment of the show, and that is Chapter Chat, where we discuss two chapters of the book. We rip them apart, we analyze them, we do everything to them that's possible. So this week we have chapters 15 and 16 of The Hunger Games, Part 1, which is The Hunger Games. And spoiler alert for all listeners, we will discuss everything from the whole series. So, all right, so to start off chapter 15, Katniss has just woken up from her attack from the Tracker Jackers. She's been hallucinating, she's been vomiting, I can imagine, and she's been having nightmares about Prim dying and her father dying, and when she wakes up, she's in a damp hole filled with leaves. So she's wondering how long she's been out, who survived the attack. There's no way she can tell. She's completely disoriented. And she plucks the nectar from a honeysuckle to get the foul taste from her mouth and is reminded of her talk with Gale on the last morning before she went to the games. And she thinks about how he suggested that they run away together. Then she thinks of PETA. Did he really save her life? And does that mean he actually does love her? Nothing makes sense. So this is really where PETA and Gale conflict in Katniss's conscious. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, probably one of the first occurrences.
Yeah. I think this is where, like, the actual love triangle kind of starts formulating.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, at this point when I was originally reading the book, I kind of went, are they really going there?
I'm just, like, I guess it's just teenage drama, but...
Mm-hmm.
So she's confused by all the boy stuff, and Katniss focuses on the positive. She now has a bow and arrows.
Yay!
So this makes her a predator instead of prey. And this is it, the biggest advantage she could possibly get, because, you know, that's her specialty. She got this bow from the body of Glimmer, but that's all right, you know?
Hmm. Wonderful.
So, after treating her wounds with an ointment that she received as a present from Haymitch, Katniss heads out for water and food. She kills a rabbit and then finds a stream. After washing, Katniss kills a bird and follows the stream for a bit and then cooks her food. So, that's when she hears a twig snap. Who is it? It's our very own Rue. So, Katniss gives Rue some food, and Rue treats Katniss's burns with some leaves she's carrying. Rue is from an agricultural district, so she knows all about trading Tracker Jacker stings. So this is the part where my mind starts going about what I would be doing in the games. The two form an official alliance. Not official, but, you know, they form an alliance. So Katniss knows this would probably make Haymitch groan, but in all honesty, the little girl reminds her of Prim. So I know we talk about this on the floor, but, like, would you guys trust Rue in this situation?
Yeah. She obviously knows a lot of how to survive in the woods. And, I mean, yeah, she doesn't really seem like that big of a threat.
But she is, though.
Yeah, but I wouldn't really know that in the games.
Right, so would you... You wouldn't know what you were going into.
In Katniss's situation, I would trust her, yes.
You would trust her?
Yeah.
April, what about you?
I wouldn't, like, trust her completely, because you never know, but I would kind of trust her enough that where I would kind of form an alliance, but I would always be, like, on my guard a little, just in case she would, like, attack me.
Just in case she would pounce in the night.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know, because, like, I feel like if she reminded me of my little sister, that could only mean good, you know? But still, like, as April said, I wouldn't completely trust her. So the two eat Grusling, the bird that Katniss killed, and Rue is stoked to have so much to eat because, as Katniss learns, food is really scarce in her district. And the two talk about their differences in their districts, and Katniss wonders if the game makers are censoring their conversation. So now this is really interesting because we get a lot of insight into Rue, like, you know, districts outside, like the actual lifestyle of districts outside of District 12.
Mm-hmm.
And in comparison to Katniss, Rue is super, like, her district is super strict. You know, they get severe punishment for not, you know, doing things right. And, like, you know, when you read that, like, Katniss' situation doesn't seem as bad, you know?
Right, yeah. I mean, I'd much rather live in District 12 than District 11, by Rue's description.
Right, yeah. So it just, basically, I think this is an important thing, because, like, it gives the reader a sense that as horrible as District 12 is, it's not even the worst of the capital.
Well, it also shows to the reader that the other districts don't know anything about each other. I mean, they're completely oblivious to what's happening around them, and that's, I guess, what the capital intends to do.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and also she mentions the censorship from the capital that's probably being censored.
Right. You know? I mean, I guess the capital needs to keep things in line.
Yeah, you know, they...
I mean, yeah, you can't have the general populace, you know, see two people buying together in the Hunger Games of all things.
Right,
I mean,
right,
they just want to see violence.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
And also, you know, political censorship.
Right, right.
Probably the bigger reason.
Mm-hmm. So, Rue also sees the sunglasses that Katniss had in her pack and shows her how to use them. They're actually night vision glasses. So, night vision glasses.
Okay, can I just say, if this movie comes out in 3D, the 3D glasses better be those night vision glasses. I don't care how they do it, it better be.
How, what do you mean? How do you mean? Like, design?
As like, in, like, you know how with the release of Harry Potter 7 Part 2, they had, like, the Harry Potter glasses?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
all right.
That.
Well, okay, maybe. I don't know. Are these glasses, do they have a big thing in the story?
No, but...
Yeah, okay.
Still, it'd be fun.
I think the glasses are cool because they give us a sense of the capital's technology and how advanced they really are. I guess the hovercrafts do that, but, like, you know, if they have night vision goggles in the arena, in an an outside pack,
yeah,
you know,
in a place where it's like supposed to be just like the bare minimum, and you have night vision glasses.
What? Yeah, like I wouldn't expect that to see that in the cornucopia, because, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so the two settle in a tree for the night, and Katniss shares her sleeping bag with Rue. So she also finds out that she was knocked out by the Tracker Jacker venom for 2 days. 2 days, and she was unconscious, right? So first of all, so nobody came across her? Nobody found her and killed her?
Yeah, that's a bit
luck.
Odd.
She got lucky.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that just seems kind of weird to me. And I guess she... Yeah, I guess she was just fine, but,
I mean, Katniss maybe Rue was, like, looking over her the entire time.
Oh, that's a possibility. It's true. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so, Katniss also tells Rue about PETA saving her life. Rue said that she's been spying on the career tributes and says that PETA is no longer with them. Ooh, breaking development of the story. PETA is no longer with the tributes. So, Katniss tries out her snazzy night vision glasses and tells Rue that the career tributes have two pairs of their own. Alright, so I guess they're handing out these glasses like candy, you know, like everybody has them.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, here you go.
Yay. So Rue is worried about that the career tributes are too strong, but Katniss tells her that she and Rue are just as strong, and just in a different way. She and Katniss are strong because they know how to be hungry. And she points out that the career tributes aren't as hungry because they have so many supplies. And this leads Katniss to start formulating a plan. So she makes a good point. I mean, these career tributes who have been being fed their whole lives don't know true disparity in hunger, and these people do. So that puts them at a survival advantage.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so that concludes Chapter 15. Alex, take away Chapter 16.
Okay, so we open Chapter 16 with Katniss contemplating. She's happy to be teaming up with Rue, but she knows in the back of her mind that it can't survive unless she wants to survive. So she's also excited about the plan they're forming to take the Career Tribute's food. So Katniss falls asleep, but is jolted awake by a shot of a cannon. Another tribute bites the dust, and another one down, and another one down.
Another one bites the dust. I'm totally gonna play that.
Another one bites the dust, and another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey.
Yes, exactly. So the two eat breakfast, raw eggs, yummy yummy, and then devise a strategy as they hunt. Rue tells Katniss that the Career Tributes have their base down by the lake, and that the food stash is right out in the open and guarded by only one person, the boy from District 3. This is all very interesting to Katniss. They must have rigged it somehow. So as the girls forage for food, Katniss learns more about Rue. She's the oldest of six kids and loves music more than anything else in the world.
Ooh, music. Her whistle.
Yeah, I think possibly what me and Hurley are most excited about coming out of, like, Danny Elfman and T-Bone Burnett.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think they're going to design a whole theme around Rue, because, as you just said, she's very music-centered, mm-hmm. right? So there's definitely going to be, like, a Rue's theme.
I mean, we already do have the... But, I mean, obviously, it's got to be a lot bigger than that, and I'm looking forward to how they expand upon that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Like a whole force of mocking jays just whistling that.
Yeah, like a big symphony of whistles. That'd be cool.
Yeah. So Rue sings with the mocking jays in her district, who carry musical messages for her and spread them around the orchard. Like when it's queen time for the workers. So Katniss tries to give Rue her mocking jay pin, but Rue says no. She has her own token, a grass necklace with a charm.
Wait, so hold on. There's a nice symmetry with the Rue's whistle and the mocking jay, because you know how they brought the Mockingjays down the mines to tell the miners when something was wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this, Rue sings when it's time for the workers to go. So it's like perfect symmetry there.
Ah, very good.
Yeah, so wow. Rue is the Mockingjay.
So the two eventually come up with a plan, and Rue teaches Katniss the Mockingjay signal. If she hears it from the birds, she'll know that Rue is okay. Rue hugs Katniss, and the two part ways to execute the plan. What's the plan, you ask? Alright, fine. The first part, Katniss is going to spy on the Career Tributes at their base at the edge of the woods. She does this. There are four tributes at the base. A boy from District 1, Kato, a girl from District 2, and a guy from District 3. The supplies have been put in a pyramid far away from the camp. So Katniss finds this all kind of puzzling. What's protecting the pyramid of supplies? Must be booby-trapped. Now, the second part of the plan gets underway. Rue sets a fire from some distance off to lure the Career Tributes away from the camp. So they take the bait and head for the smoke, leaving the camp empty. As they hide out, Katniss hears Kato say that Peeta, aka Loverboy, is probably hiding in the woods somewhere, but is too willing to be a threat to supplies.
Mm.
So, Katniss tries to figure out what to do, shoot an arrow into the supplies, when another tribute appears, the fox-faced girl. She runs an intricate path around and then up to the pyramid, fills her back, and then, doing some weird dance, runs away.
So, this is the first time we see Foxface actually, like, doing something in the games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Jacqueline Emerson, you know? This is her debut moment.
Yeah. Her time to shine. Woo-hoo. Doing her booby trap dance.
Yeah, so, I like how she just called a Foxface girl. And then from then on, Foxface is capitalized. Like, that's her name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, according to the actress, we're going to learn Foxface's real name.
Right. I guess we'll get that information in the Tributes guy as well, though, right? Because...
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Are we going to learn all the Tributes' names if they show every Reaping?
Maybe. I don't know, you know. Maybe.
Or are they going to conveniently miss the names and just hear, these are our two tributes?
Have a little censorship thing over the name, like, you will not see that.
Alright, so, that's when Katniss figures out. There are landmines around the pyramid. The tributes from District 3 is from a factory region, must know how to use explosives. She guesses he got the mines from the ones that were used in the arena by the game makers on the first day. Must have reactivated them. So Katniss sees Rue's second fire and knows her time is running out. That's when she sees a bag of apples and knows that if she shoots it, the whole thing will fall and set off the mines. Three arrows later, the apples are spilling, the mines are exploding, and Katniss is blown back into the air.
Bum, bum, bum.
Dum, dum, dum.
Okay, so that's an awesome end of the chapter. I guess she figured out that she will never be able to get to the food, so it's just better to destroy it all instead.
Yeah. You know?
But what we I all thought like was
explosions.
Right. Oh, yes. And that's really quite clever to take the explosives around the place where the tributes came into the arena and reactivate them.
Yeah, that is actually like really ingenious.
Yeah. One thing I remember MTV when they were doing interviews with Gary Ross near the teaser, you know, way back then. Mm-hmm. Gary was like, yeah, we just blew something up on set yesterday. I'm like, was that the firebombing scene? But I guess it was just this one, right?
Maybe, yeah. All I know is I'm going to say 85% chance that we see this in the next trailer.
Really?
I mean, I'm guessing this is going to be a big enticing thing for people to see. Like, look, we have an explosion. Come see our film. Because a lot of movies do that, so.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I really don't know what to expect from a next trailer, but. So yeah, that does it for chapters 15 and 16. So email us any thoughts about the chapters we just covered. If you have something to say about the firebombing or censorship or whatever. Or chapters 17 through 18 for next week, and we'll discuss them right on the air. So guys, you've waited, and it's time to unveil our new segment, and that is Pan Am Poetry. So Pan Am Poetry is an all-new segment where we select a listener-submitted poem on air. So the poem prompts are chosen during each week's discussion, and we tell you guys to send in poems, and you do. So this week, we are reading off the winner from last week, and last week's prompt was, write a poem about Katniss's hallucinations after being stung by the Tracker Jackers. Our very first winner of the Pan Am Poetry segment is, drumroll please, Molly of District 11. So, April, why don't you read off her wonderful prize-winning poem?
I am the Mockingjay again, but now I am cornered by a wolf and his...
Wait, hold on. Put some emotion into it.
Wait a minute. I am the Mockingjay again. But now I am cornered by a wolf and his pack. I can only wait, but now I am not alone. There is a raven, for ravens can survive anything. She warns me of another predator, one far more deadly than the wolf and his pack. But there is use for the deadly creatures now. I let the raven fly away from tree to tree, then I let the nest fall. One small she-wolf is targeted. She wriggles on the ground in pain. But soon her pain swallows her up in death. I am not spared, though. My wings are torn apart. My blood boils in my veins. I run on legs not meant for running. Because my wings have been torn off, a wolf comes and I wait to become a meal. But no, he lets me flee. I do without hesitation. Why would a predator let go of prey?
Yay. All right, so that was one of the more darker poems we've received. It's okay.
Dark but beautiful.
Because the hallucinations are crazy and insane. So, this week we have a honorable mention poem, and that is from Houston. And here's Houston's poem. Here's my poem from Hurley and Alex. You can take Rue because Katniss is mine. You can take Foxface because Clove is so fine. I hope you like my poem because Jennifer Lawrence and Isabel Furman are so hot, 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 and I have dibs. P.S. I just listened to an Andrew Sims podcast, and he's not as funny as you guys. So...
Oh my god, this means so much to me. I'd like to thank the Academy, my family.
I know. Okay, Houston, first of all, that is an amazing poem.
It is great.
Rue and...
Wait, you said it wrong, though. It's hot.
Okay, sorry. Jennifer Lawrence and Isabel Furman are so hot. I have dibs. Okay, so a great poem, Houston. It sums up Jennifer Lawrence very nicely.
And Isabel Furman. Don't forget her.
Yeah, Alex has Isabel Furman. So, we are better than Andrew Sims, guys, officially.
Wow. I feel like I've been given like the podcasting an Oscar. Like,
I know.
This is awesome. Thank you, Houston.
Wait, who is he?
For those who don't know who Andrew Sims is, he is one of the more well-known podcasters in the podcasting world, and he has many popular podcasts, and yeah. All right, so that wraps up Pan Am Poetry. Again, our poem this week, the prompt is, write a poem about Haymitch's hair. So you can write about how ugly you think it is or how amazingly awesome you think it is. write in about Haymitch's hair. It's great. So now we are moving into our last segment, and that is Rock. So for Hunger Games Rock, we close out the show each week with a musical selection of one of the host choice that we think would work well with the Hunger Games universe. So this week, enjoy a great song that is my pick. And yay, I know everyone's super happy because you've been listening to all the other host picks, and they're great. My pick this week is Wolf Suite Part 1 by Danny Elfman.
Woo!
Yeah, so I picked this one because, first of all, it's a great song. It's dark and brooding. It's not like the one I picked last time that has like a climax. Like, this is just kind of, you know, it's a suite, right? And this fits into the Hunger Games because it's very sinister. It's very capital. Like, I imagine this is maybe President Snow's theme. Mm-hmm. But, of course, it's by Danny Elfman, so you can get a taste of the sound that he enjoys. Yeah. So hopefully you'll enjoy that. That's from the Wolfman movie soundtrack. So enjoy that. Oh, and by the way, for everyone that's wondering, does Hurley listen to any real music? Does he, like, listen to anything besides movie soundtracks? Yeah, yes, I do, but since all the other listeners pick actual songs, I thought it'd be nice for me to pick a movie song for my pick. So thanks everyone for listening. Be sure to visit rebellionradiopodcast.com for all your needs about the show. There are links to our iTunes and Tumblr, and you can also stay updated with our Facebook and Twitter, which are both at /RRpodcast. And you can discuss the show with and its voluminous topics with other listeners in the comments. Also, contact us for anything at all at comments@rebellionradiopodcast.com. But wait, there's more. Introducing Rebellion Radio Transmissions. So this is a new feature that I wanted to implement that some other podcasts do, and that is you can send us in an audio file of you guys saying what you want to say. As naturally, this is an audio podcast, and we talk all the time. You guys send in your text emails, but some people express themselves easier through speech. So just get a mic, get a recording software.
Audacity.
Audacity, you can find that online. And send us an actual audio file of your thoughts, comments, and our ideas for the show. And we will pick some to be played on the show if there's enough. And, you know, it's an audio podcast, so we thought, you know, let's incorporate the voices of the listeners itself. So, you know, that's a new thing we're implementing. Rebellion Radio Transmissions, send us in your voicemails. And you can attach those as files on an email to us. So I think that does it, everyone. Enjoy The Wolf Suite Part 1 by Danny Elfman. Thanks for listening. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Alex Bolva.
And I'm April Crescenti.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Remember the bread.
Remember the bread? That's our ending?
What? That's the... No! That's horrible!
We need an actual ending that's not super awkward.
I know.
We need something like rebellion-y. Like...
Stay rebellious, guys.
No, I was actually thinking that when
don't
I read
don't eat
this,
your broccoli.
Like, that's stupid. Don't
eat
Fly away, little Mockingjay. Fly, fly, fly.
Don't tell anybody about this or something. No, that's stupid.
Don't tell anyone about this show. Except we actually want you to tell people about the show.
Well, the point of rebellion... Well, this is hard.
And this has been Rebellion Radio.
And we'll see you in the arena.
No. What? Why would we be in the arena?
I don't know.
And we'll see you at the podcast. And we'll see you at the war zone when we rebel against them.
That's too long.
Yes.
We'll see you in the war zone when we fight and win and set up a democracy and then have it end up failing and then return to where we are
we'll
now.
See.
That's the worst one I've ever heard.
We'll see you as we're walking away dramatically in the distance after rebelling and winning.
And we'll see you at we'll see you at the burger shop. Okay, I don't think we can. I think that's gonna be our signature ending. Like the awkward ending is the classic rebellion.
The awkward ending is the ending.
Like that's our ending.
Huh.
What if it was like?
All right, and this is, and remember. Together we stand, divided we fall.
If we stand for nothing, we'll fall for anything.
Wait, what? Wait. Okay,
if we
restate both of them.
If we stand for nothing, then we will fall for anything?
If we stand for nothing, then we will fall for anything. Okay, I guess that makes sense, but...
Together we stand, divided we fall.
Together we stand, divided we fall.
Because all in all, you're just another brick in the wall. To you Pink Floyd fans listening to the bloopers out there, there you go.
Any all-time low fans listening,
Okay,
said.
You know what? I'm just going to keep the awkward ending for now. We can figure out an official ending later. Yeah, so there's a guy named T, right? So he emails in, and she goes, "Hello, I love you guys, but what's your email again? Please reply, hu... whatever your name is, it sucks, change your name." Okay, first of all, wait a second.
Huh? What?
So what? She sent this... through the contact us form, right? He or she, right? Sent it through the contact us form. And the thing is, there are emails right on that page, and it's on the sideline too. Like, why? And then she's sending us an email asking us about our email.
Yeah, and whatever your name is, it is sucks, change your name. That's how it translates.
Okay, person. No.
I just don't understand.
I know my name sucks, but I can't change it. For those who don't know who Andrew Sims is, he is one of the more well-known podcasters in the podcasting world. This means everything to us.
Yep. I think we can just end at 10 now. I mean, we've fulfilled everything we wanted to,
just
right?
Stop.
If we beat Andrew Sims, there is no more that can be done in achievements.
So bye.
See ya.
Bye.